So we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful moment when we can stand under your word and, Lord, attend to you and your heart for us. We thank you and praise your name. And his heart for us is the heart of the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. That's the truth of my life. There's nothing I want that could surpass having the shepherd. In fact, all that I desire is satisfied, fulfilled in the relationship with the shepherd, Jesus. He is my joy. He is my light. He is my hope. He is my strength. He fulfills the deepest need in my heart, which is a cry for love. God is love. Jesus comes from the Father for our sake. And the love between the Father and the Son from all eternity is poured out into this world by the Holy Spirit. When we come to Jesus, we are filled with love. And that's what the heart longs for most. There are many desires in your heart. Many things I might say, I want this, I want that, I want that. But ultimately, what we need and want most is the unconditional love of God that cannot be earned, but is sheer gift from God to us. No matter what I do, no matter how far I stray away, as we sheep tend to stray, no matter how far I stray away, he is there, seeking me out. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He came to draw us into himself, into a deep intimacy with him. So the Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want as long as I have him, as long as he is the center of my life, as long as he is the Lord, truly the Lord, then this is enough. In the deepest core of my being, I must take hold of him by faith, because we are the ones who believe and put our trust in God's love for us. That's the definition of who we are. And we can stray away from that and seek many other loves, but ultimately, the love of God revealed to us in Jesus is what counts. Now, fresh and green are the pastures. Now, he leads us to rest, we're told, and revives our drooping spirit. So many people are restless. So many people are full of deep anxiety in their hearts. So many people are worried and confused within their spirit. So many people are torn this way and that interiorly. But it's when we come to experience the love of God in Jesus Christ, in our hearts, then there's the quiet spirit. There's the new life that Jesus promises. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. There's a peace and a joy. But you see, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he'll come to steal you of your joy. He'll come to take away from you this knowledge of God's love. And you begin to sort of fall into other things, seeking out some sort of satisfaction in things that are not going to ultimately bring you this joy. It will be found in God's love. It will be found in relationship with Jesus. But somehow or other, this truth has to move from the head to the heart. And that's a big journey. Neil Armstrong, who took that journey to the moon, remember, and the first man to walk on the moon, he said afterwards, because he was a Christian and he was going through a conversion experience, he said that, yes, it was a long way to travel from the earth to the moon, but the bigger journey was to go from the head to the heart. Because for many of us, we've got it all worked out up here that God loves us, but we don't really know it in our guts, in the heart. And that's the journey for each one of us. Again and again, we have to come back to this, because so often we're trying to earn our way to heaven rather than being able to let God love us, let him win us and persuade us. And again, we look to the Good Shepherd, the one who laid down his life for our sake. Jesus says, you know, the hired man, he will run away when the wolves come, but the Good Shepherd will not. He will lay down his life for his sheep. And so we look to Jesus crucified and see there the love. No greater love is anyone than to lay down his life for his friends. He is pierced through for our faults, crushed for our sins. On him lies a punishment that sets us free. By his wounds we are healed. We look to Jesus crucified and find there the love. Now he guards us, he guides us along the way. He is true to his name, and his name is Saviour. He saves us from peril and evil and from the darkness that can beset us. He sets us free, makes us new in him. He breathes life into our spirits. He revives our drooping spirit, gives us new hope when we felt there was no hope. Christ is all for us if we allow him to bring to us the life that only he can bring, and the life and the strength that only he can bring. You know, he guides us along the right way. Now, the image of the shepherd that's given to us in today's readings, we need to sort of reflect a bit upon, because it's based in that Bedouin shepherd image at Jesus' time, where the shepherds had a small flock, and the shepherd knew each one of his sheep and called each one by name. He had a pet name. Betsy over here, and Johnny over here, and Kenny over there. I'm sure there was a Kenny. The school used to call me Kenny Barkey, you know that? Shouldn't tell you that. Please don't repeat it. But yeah, he had these pet names, you see. And so there'd be certain oases that the shepherds would lead to at night time, and they'd bring their little flocks together and pen them up together around the oasis. And there's plenty of water there. The sheep would go to sleep, and the shepherds would sit around the fire and they go to sleep too. In the morning, the shepherd would get up then, go to the gate of the sheepfold, and he'd call forth his own sheep. And sheep have a very finely tuned ear, so they can actually hear the voice of the shepherd even though they can't see that well. And so he calls forth his own, and they come. They hear his voice. That's what it is to be a disciple, isn't it? To listen to the voice of the shepherd. And then it says, they hear his voice because they don't listen to the voice of the stranger. And then they follow him, listening to his voice. And they don't listen to the voice of the stranger. There are many voices in your life, much confusion in your heart at times, listening to different voices, but there's the voice of the shepherd, the quiet voice of the shepherd calling you forward. And it's always a voice of love. It's a voice that calls you into deeper peace and deeper joy in Christ. It's a voice that calls you into intimacy with him, because the shepherd has an intimate relationship with his sheep at that time. And that's what Jesus is speaking about. Come into intimacy with him. Come into a deep love relationship with him. This is what he invites each one of us into, to take us deeper in a life of prayer, so that each morning we're there. We wake up by the shepherd and hear the voice of the shepherd, and we're there following him attentively, going where he will lead us and guide us. He guides us along the right path. He is true to his name. This is our shepherd. But also, we're told in the psalm that if We walk through the valley of darkness. You'll be there with your crook and your staff, Lord. With these you give me comfort. Yes, there is a valley of darkness, is there not, in our lives, where things can go terribly wrong and life can get terribly difficult and painful and wounding can happen in the heart. The darkness can prevail. Things happen that we could not possibly have expected. Circumstances just go pear-shaped in a big way. And relationships too can become frayed and torn apart. But there, the shepherd is with us in that darkness. He's there. Nothing can separate us from the love of God made visible in Jesus Christ. And how is it made visible? On the cross, where he entered into that darkness for our sake. And from that place of darkness made the great act of trust in God the Father, which led to his resurrection from the dead. And so we too can make that act of trust because we know the shepherd is with us in our worst times, in the most difficult times, in the most painful journeys that we're called upon. He is there with his crook and his staff. With these he gives us comfort. The crook and the staff, you know, it's interesting. The crook, I think, is that sort of curved thing. That's where he sort of pulls you back in with the crook, huh? Because you've been taken away by the enemy's thinking. He pulls you back in. And the staff, what's that for? Well, of course, it's to belt the wolf, right? He's there to beat off all those crazy thoughts that you have that come from the evil one. He's there to bring you comfort, to bring you the consolation that comes from God himself. He's prepared a banquet for us in the sight of his foes. This is the banquet we're at right now, the Eucharist, huh? You know, in the sight of all the struggle and the tension in your life and all the difficulties that you're facing and all of maybe the temptations that you're going through as well because of the evil one, in the sight of all that, he's prepared a banquet for you. A banquet where he feeds us. The shepherd feeds and nourishes and strengthens us for the journey. He doesn't leave us without what we need most to be sustained and strengthened in the spiritual battle. As John Paul II reminded us, you might remember that every Eucharist celebrated devoutly is more powerful than all the evil in the universe, because it's a celebration of the victory that Jesus won for us on the cross and through his powerful resurrection. So we can draw here from the food that we need and the strength that we need to sustain us on the journey and take us forward in this life of discipleship that he calls us to. He wants to pour his love into our hearts, brothers and sisters, in a new way. Now, he wants you to let him love you in a new way. Now, don't shut out his love by your own self-sufficiency. Don't choose to go your own way, but be a sheep who loves the shepherd and listens to the voice of the shepherd and allows him to speak his word into your heart, which is a word of love. Allows him to win your heart and persuade you by his love. Look to him on the cross and allow the wounds of Jesus to persuade your hardened heart, to win you over, to draw you back into relationship with him. Because as it says in the second reading, we've all gone astray. But he has brought us back, the shepherd and the guardian of our souls. Jesus, the shepherd and guardian of our souls. Yes, so we come to this banquet for that purpose and to derive all the strength and grace and power that comes from feeding on Jesus himself in the Eucharist, the shepherd of our souls. Surely his goodness and kindness will follow us all the days of our lives. His goodness and kindness. That is God. God is good. God is kind. And his goodness and kindness he wants to pour into our hearts so it'll flow through us to others. So people will know you for your goodness and your kindness because you're so captured by the love of God that his love is visible in you. You're alive in Jesus. You know, his very presence is in you for the sake of others. They see him in you. They feel the sense of the goodness that's in your heart. And they see it in your actions. And they see the kindness that's in your heart, in your words and the things that you speak. Surely his goodness and kindness will follow you all the days of your life. And in the Lord's own house shall I dwell forever and ever. At the Lord's own house, I shall be in relationship with him. Now, Jesus promised, don't be afraid. Trust me and trust the Father. I'm going to make a place for you in the Father's heart. And I'll come back and bring you into that place. And Jesus has now risen from the dead. And he brings us into that place of the Father's heart. He brings us into the love that the Father has for him for all eternity. Every time in the Mass when we say, Our Father, that's what it means. That I am coming into the relationship that Jesus has with the Father. We are coming together into that relationship. The love that that Jesus has experienced from the Father from all eternity, that love he wants to pour into our hearts. He's the shepherd who's come for that purpose. You know, he died on the cross for our sake. You know, it was our sins that put him there, but it was his love that kept him there. And he loves and loves and loves. And our hearts can be sort of so hard at times. He wants to soften our hearts so that we'll open up to this love more. We'll come into the experience of it more deeply within ourselves. Allow ourselves to be transformed by this love. Let him take hold of us to that level, if we can allow that to happen. So this is what tonight's about, just opening up to the love of God in this Eucharist, where the outpouring of God's love is so immense. We can't see it in a visible way, like we can't see it, but you can experience it in your heart. You can allow the Lord to come. Put your faith in God's love for you. Don't put your faith in anything else, but in God's love for you. And allow his love to be poured into your heart through this Eucharist. Let him touch your heart in a new way. Let him open up your heart. Let the Spirit of God poured out from the Eternal Father through the Son, let the Spirit of God penetrate you in a new way. Let him be truly the shepherd of your soul. Allow yourself to come into a new intimacy with him. Don't hold back through your lack of faith or through your fear or through your sense of insufficiency or through your sense of inadequacy or unworthiness. You know, you are worthy in the sight of God. He died for you. He hung on the cross for your sake. Allow him to bring to you a new experience of his love, a new touch of his kindness and his goodness, and then allow that to flow through you for the sake of others. This is a great gift of God that we celebrate. Let him love you. Some people say, what does it mean to become holy? What do I have to do? Climb up some ladder to get to God? What do I have to do to become holy? Simply, let him love you. Let him love you. Let him capture your heart. Let him do the work deeply within you. And respond with all your heart to him. Say, yes, yes, yes. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I want you, Lord, fully in me. You are the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. There's nothing else I want but you, my Lord, Jesus. And bless his name.